Park it up, Dave. Park it up.
Pack it up. Pack it up.
Pack it in, pack it up.
Let me begin.
You can make a part out of that song.
Jump up, and get down.
Kanu is a bit tentative. Berger. Oh, and Owen will brush past Dixon. Cross comes at him. Owen!
Man podcast. We're back again this week. Declan Maron over there.
Hello.
Taking a drink. Ruth Tobin over there as well.
Hello.
Not taking a drink. Professional as he is. And Shane Keane here, of course. If you want to get in touch with 12manpodcast.com or at 12manpodcast on the Twitter. Not that hard. Mike Lone's retired. Or has he retired? He retired.
Retired at the end of the season.
Yeah, retired at the end of the season.
Preparing to retire.
Preparing to retire.
May make another...
For the last 17 years.
Well, logically, if you mathematically divide it, he's made 6 sub appearances over 30 Premier League games.
Really?
Yeah, so okay. I'm not going to do any math for you now because I don't want to and I'm not good at it. But he's going to make... Insert number. many appearances before
if
the
Michael
end of the season.
If Michael Owen is travelling on a train that's going 32 miles an hour...
He gets injured.
How injured?
He gets injured and has to get off. How long will it take him?
How long will it take him to recover from injury? He has 1 goal this season. He has 213 goals in his career.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad at all. Well, that's what it was.
Pretty bad
goals.
For the last 6 years.
Yeah,
when
considering,
he probably has 50.
Considering 212 came in the first 4 months of his career.
Since he left Newcastle, he's really been on a downhill slump. For the most part.
I would argue before, but we'll get a bit more into that later, probably.
Yeah. Well, we might. Anyway, look, the question this week is, which Michael Owen memory or moment will live longest in your memory?
Me first?
Yeah, of course, you're a Liverpool fan.
As a Liverpool fan, that's what I thought I'd take the longest here. I am a bit worried because I don't want to... There's too many. I posted on the Twitter earlier in the week that he was probably my first favourite player.
First crush.
No, it wasn't. I didn't have that much of it. That would have been a very big moment in my life and his if that had have happened at the age
you
I was
would
at.
Have been so happy.
No,
he would have been in jail.
No, honestly, he was probably my first favorite player when I started supporting Liverpool. He was kind of becoming a player at that time, and I would put up with. I'm gonna have to list a few, but I won't steal yours. One is a particular goal.
Do you not even know?
Against Manchester United. No, I don't, but I'm guessing I know.
Oh.
A particular goal against Manchester United. I mentioned the beautiful Gary McAllister last week.
He wasn't that beautiful.
I was good looking.
Is he your first crush?
First Scotsman. My first Scots crush. But he hit a great little through ball to Michael Owen. He ran through against Manchester United. I'm pretty sure it was the equaliser, and then we went on to win 2-1. But it's a beautiful little curler top corner, and it's just absolute poacher's finish. If I can find it, I'll put it up. But that would probably be my favourite moment of all time. That was the one goal I looked at and went, oh, what a player. Like, that is a phenomenal goal. Alternatively, one thing I do remember is the cheese and Owen crisps.
From
Walker's. I'm not sure if you remember the ad.
Salt and Lineker and cheese and Owen,
I'm not sure if you remember the ad. Where they basically stole Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote's dynamic and replaced them with Michael Owen and Gary Lineker. In which Gary Lineker, on 3 occasions, tries to drop... Like, he drops things from... He drops a piano to try and drop it on Michael Owen. He tries to hit him with a bull... You know, those big kind of bulldozer ball things. And then tries to drop a Walker's crisps truck. I don't know why you didn't just try 3 pianos and try one earlier.
All of these Michael Owen is surprisingly immune to.
I know.
And yet just coming on as a substitute, he gets injured.
I'm thinking nowadays all of those things would have hit him and killed him instantly.
Do you think in the video when he's running away from these things...
He's not running, he's walking.
He's walking away.
It's Walker's. Walker's crisps. You're not going to be running,
I tell you. He'll do his hamstring and walking away from these things.
But it's this one where Lineker drops the rest. Actually, I'm not sure how Lineker survived. The last one, he tries to drop out Chris Van on him, and the crane collapses, nearly kills like a huge amount of the English population.
Was this an ad or was this a dream?
That was an ad. I'll post this ad. I will post this ad in a few minutes after we finish recording.
Okay. What's yours?
I liked when Neville Southall gave out to him for scoring as a 13-year-old.
So wait. You got to give his show, Michael Owen's Soccer School or whatever the hell it was. Use that as a... Because we don't want to be too mean to him. But yes, Neville Southall giving him crap is hilarious.
He was taking penalties against
There were no penalties though. No, it was like they were rolling the ball out to him sometimes. Yeah. So he was kind of coming one on one. He was, you know, hitting a couple of long shots against this 13-year-old little ginger bloke.
He was being trained.
He turned out to be Joe Hart. No, he didn't. Go on. I'll let you set
up the situation. Basically, he takes it far, far too seriously and starts celebrating as if he's just won the World Cup. And Neville Southall doesn't take too kindly to him.
What is it he says? What's the Michael Owen say? Back in the net? Or
he goes, get in there.
And Neville Southall says, well done, he's 13.
It's one of my favourite. I should have thought of that.
I think Michael Owen was counting that in his career goals as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's number 213. 210 of them came against some random ginger fella. Two of them came against Barnes.
Ah, well, what a career! To the memory that will live longest, or the moment that will live longest, in my memory is his goal against Man City, which was his for Man United, which is one notable thing.
That's a good point. The winner in the last
minute in the Manchester Derby.
Incredible game.
Someone had to pick the later, less impressive Michael Owen.
It was the only thing he did. It was a brilliant pass by Giggs, I remember, and Owen kind of took a touch. He did what he did best and just finished the ball, put it into the corner. That was the last good thing he's ever done, I think, really. Yeah. He has one goal for Stoke this season.
But he did score. He scored a hat-trick that season as well.
Against Wolfsburg in the Champions League.
I'm not sure if...
Overton sent one or two of them up, I think, as well.
That shows that they were obviously playing a reserve squad.
Not sure if you've seen the just on the subject of what he'll be remembered by. There's a poll on Football 365 which has what will he remember? How will you remember him as a great goal scorer or as an entertaining raconteur? I wouldn't say I could pick. I haven't voted on it because I can't pick either of the two. I think his career was so split. I mean, if you took it in, you know, a game of two halves kind of analogy. He was off by the second half. He wasn't interested, you know. He fell out of love with the game nearly, and is more
just there for the money.
Yeah, for the trophies, if anything, a medal to show off with. You know, I mean,
he likes putting that on Twitter.
He does. That's the thing. Speaking of Twitter, again, we tweeted as a unit that it wasn't long till Piers Morgan would come on and ruin Michael Owen's day. And actually, hats off to him. He came on and said, no, I have to be nice to you. Well done, a great player, and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I haven't totally ruined yours. Still called a bench warmer in that line. But, I think, on and all, he just seems to have fallen out of love with the game. And I said before, not a fan of playing at small clubs, which is, for me, a bad way of looking at things, you know?
His career was strange in the way that he was so good when he was younger, at 17, when he broke on. And he made such a big impact, instant impact. He scored, so many goals in his first 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah.
But he left in 2004, was it, to go to Madrid? Mm. When he left, he was never the same player, even after he left there.
Yeah.
One good season in Newcastle, one very good. Of course, he had injuries, but he was the World Player of the Year at Liverpool. Like, it's amazing to think that he won so much when he was young. And people kind of forget that in his later years, he didn't win a lot and, you know, he didn't do a lot, but because he had such a big impact.
Probably won more just sitting on the bench or...
Yeah,
I don't know.
He did win 4 trophies in one season.
Well, that's true, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't say he won more. I mean, he was absent. He wasn't there for United winning.
He didn't win anything at Newcastle.
Yeah.
He didn't really win anything at United.
Yeah. I'm sure he got... Did he get trophies at Madrid at the time? I honestly don't know.
He actually, his time in Madrid is always kind of criticised, but he actually had a fairly decent record.
I don't know. I think everyone jumps to defend his time in Madrid. His record is good, but I think if you look at he was never going to dislodge Ronaldo or Raul.
Well, no, but...
Raul was the man there at the time.
And Ronaldo was one of the best players in the world still at the time when he went
there. Yeah, two of the highest goal scorers in football.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't think... I think you should always back yourself, unless you're Scott Sinclair. But I also think that you have to look at it logically and go, okay, well, I'm not going to get much football. It was more or less what Sean Wright Phillips did. Going to Chelsea and getting lost amongst all the players that were better than him. And then eventually kind of turn up and everyone be like, you're not that good. You know, and that's unfortunately what happened to Michael Owen, who actually was a talent, but just... I think that the size bit of his career would probably is the wrong decision.
He's a goal scorer. Maybe he's kind of found out when he got to that level, you know?
Maybe, but I think the decisive thing that kind of decided his career was a bad move to Newcastle, ultimately.
Yeah. Anyway, look, you mentioned Sean Wright Phillips there. Let's move to his current team, QPR, who lost against Aston Villa at the weekend. 3-2 to Aston Villa. Benteke got the winner. Another goal for Benteke. What's he got this season? With 20?
Yeah. I saw Romelu Lukaku talking about him moving to a top four club. Speculating. I mean, imagine that strike force playing against Benteke. Belgium are going to have the most terrifying strike force.
But Belgium's a very good team.
Yeah. Sorry, but not to hop in on that. But I just thought it was relevant to Benteke, considering that everyone's talking about getting a top four move.
Villa, fantastic win for them. Because they really, really needed a win. And the way things have been going for QPR... You thought, well, if QPR win this, they might as well stay up, but they've lost. And
they may as well.
Well, they may well stay up. Yeah. Do you think they're doomed now? Do you think that's it? Or is there a chance they can say QPR lives?
QPR, I'm not sure ultimately. I mean, we've been looking at their fixtures. People have been saying they have an easier run-in than most. But I'm not sure they do. I think there's still a couple of tough games. They've got Liverpool, they've got Newcastle, they've got Arsenal. I don't think it's... they have a poor team. I don't think it's going to be a smooth run-in by any means. Yeah.
Fact that they're 20th in the table, you look at any fixture and you think, this team are higher than them in the table, they'll probably win.
I think they were a bit unlucky against Villa.
Well, yeah, but you touch on some of the teams around them. We will touch on them. But Redden, for example, they're probably going to go down now. They have no hope. They've sacked the manager.
I would put them favourites for bottom. Yeah. Redden.
You could argue that although Wigan are a fantastic team at this time of year, they've got a much weaker squad than QPR do. Now, they have been there and done it before and stayed up two occasions now, but they have a much weaker squad than QPR and much less depth if there's an injury or two. You could even say teams like Sunderland are on a huge side. Yeah. And you look at that and say Sunderland have got some really tough games coming up as well, and they could well be sucked into it, especially if QPR were to win one or two. But at Villa then, are they safe?
I still find it hard. I mean, it's hard to say that. I don't want to say that anyone's safe.
Safe, yeah.
I'm going to look like stupid. But then I don't want to say nothing because then I look like Alan Hansen, who's also stupid. He'll be going, yeah, anything can happen. Yeah. Well, same answer, you idiot.
Peace, movement, desire.
You can't stay up with kids, can you? Alan, you'll eat those words.
If he says that, they're going.
They've got to stay up. I don't know. I think... In fairness to Redknapp, if anyone was going to do it, he probably could. He's done a good job since he's gone in there, despite possibly ruining them in the future. but the immediate, he's like the opposite of Mark Hughes. He does a good immediate effect kind of thing. I mean, Townsend, great.
Genius. Both of them scored two games in a row.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But a good bit of business. I mean, I'm not so sure of a genius. I'm still...
Yeah, I mean,
it was right place, right time, and he hit off volley.
If he gets another two towards the end of the season, that'd be brilliant for QPR.
Exactly. It was actually just a terrible goal defensively that he scored on the weekend.
Yeah. But I tell you what, you can see what Redknapp's trying to do with that team. I mean, you can see Remy, Zamora, you can see each role. Like, Zamora is just there to chest the ball down. You know, he was there to be the first to the ball over Vlaar, basically. Yeah. And, you know, Remy was making, like... The first game Remy played for QPR, we saw what the intention of having him was just to make a couple of like incisive runs, and that was it, you know? And again, you can see what these players, you can see what Townsend's all about.
Townsend looks like a very good player, actually.
Hilarious how basic management can be sometimes.
Yeah.
With things like that. I mean, Redknapp is by no means a tactical mastermind, but all he's done is go, okay, well, look, just come in and you play this role, and that's what this team needs.
Mm. I said that when he came in at first, that when Harry Redknapp came in at first, that maybe... When Harry came in, that he just made it really simple. He made the football really, really simple. Yeah. He just said, right, we're going to we're going to play, you know, give the ball to the skillful players, get the ball to Remy and make him run at goal, which just seemed to be just the way they were playing before, which is a lot more tactical. It seemed to be a lot more emphasis in the actual tactics and, you know, playing around the back. And Harry Redknapp was like, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to make it solid at the back and we're going to hit people on the counter with fast wingers, which is what they have.
Yeah,
you know, they got Roy Phillips and Hoyle, and then you've got up front, you have Remy and Den Zamora, who's just there to chest the ball down.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny as well, because, like, watching that game, I remember thinking they could have had, like, three before Villa equalised. I mean, Basinga hit the post.
Yeah.
I mean, Basinga, they were so close
with that. And then straight away, and even Guzan's two saves.
Yeah, but not even when they hit the post, when Basinga hit the post, he then was too busy being an attacker to remember marking anyone.
Yeah. But that was Abonga scored straight after that, wasn't it?
Tihan Dublin made a fantastic point about Abon Lahore, saying he'd have more goals if he was a better finisher. Yes, Dion, that's pretty much how football works, you know?
That's good
assessment.
Hampton beat Liverpool 3-1.
This is true.
Surprise result, that is true. Surprise result, really, I think, because Liverpool have been playing.
Surprise performance, considering how decent Liverpool have looked, and then they looked like they had lead in their shorts for the whole game. They were terrible.
Maybe they did have lead in their shorts.
Maybe they did. Crazy Brendan Rodgers tactics, trying to mix it up, lads. I know it's weird, but we're going to play with lead in our shorts today.
Were they just out-tacticked by Pochettino and Southampton? Or was it just luck?
Because
I think Liverpool did look a bit lethargic. I don't think they looked lazy. They looked tired.
Yeah, they did look tired.
For some reason, I don't really know why, but they did. And Southampton just kind of capitalised on that. Got an early goal, which really put Liverpool on the back foot.
Yeah.
And kept them out pretty well at the back. Coutinho got the equaliser, but Liverpool
really enjoyed it, considering...
Yeah, it's his first goal. It was his second goal.
Oh,
they're here. Second goal, man. Like,
doesn't matter. He's happy to score when it's over, regardless.
Yeah, I know. But
he's only 20 years old. He's going to enjoy his time there.
He's very enthusiastic about...
Yeah, well, look, you're a very disappointing and negative man, regardless of anything that anyone shows. I think ultimately it comes down to a really shocking defensive performance. If you watch it again, I mean, Skrtel had an absolute nightmare. I never thought going, oh yeah, Jamie Carragher out, Skrtel in, whew, and then that kind of performance.
It's a big
problem
for Liverpool at the back, you know?
Definitely. I'm going to say it's a huge
Carragher problem. Leaving the end of the season, Skrtel doesn't look like the player he used to be. Agger doesn't look like he's even a footballer anymore.
I disagree with that. I think it's more or less that Rodgers wants to fit out a system. Skrtel has come out in the press twice or three times since Rodgers came in and said, I probably don't fit into this system.
I said that at the start of the season. You did. You defended them.
I still think they're good defenders. I don't think all the players in the team... I think you need to have a few tough tackling, relatively bruisey type players that may not be the best at playing football.
Yeah. Well, Lucas.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think it's bad to have...
It's not just defenders that defend. I mean, they have to defend every position.
I still think defenders are going to dip in quality and you need a backup defender to come in and pick up the pieces and we don't have that.
Coates just doesn't seem to get looking.
I said a few months ago that Coates is just not
good enough.
Not good enough. Danny Wilson. He's not there anymore. I think he's out on loan or something.
He might well be out on loan.
But I mean, we showed against Matt Smith in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
He was really, like, he struggled. And, like, you know, I know it can be more aggressive as you go down the leagues because they may lack a certain degree of matching football.
Technical, but yeah. Physically they're up for it, yeah.
Yeah, but they, I mean, that's not something.
Get it in the mixer.
Yeah.
Pump it in the box.
But for someone like Coates, who's...
Put him under pressure.
For a tall player, should just be able to get up and win the ball, you know? Glenn Johnson was at it again. A phenomenal degree of ball watching. I mean, last week we saw him fall over in front of the ball, which was
not
funny.
Like Ian Hart, though.
No, not like Ian Hart. But, I mean... There's a few things. I mean, the wall for the free kick, if you remember, was it? I think Sturridge and Suarez maybe, and Sturridge kind of turned inward.
Yeah, they all.
So I mean, there's a degree of that where it's like, come on, like that's basic stuff. That's Harry Redknapp correctional stuff.
Yeah,
where he'll put a big fat guy in the wall instead of Daniel Sturridge.
Sanjo would have done a better job in the wall. What can Liverpool hope for this season?
Well, I just want to comment briefly on the third one, which I remember writing down that it was the most frustrating of all because there was Gerrard bottled it. Lucas came in with a really effortless tackle at the end. I don't know if Lucas is tired or injured, but I mean, if you watch that third goal again, you know, Gerrard really didn't... He kind of not lost possession, but didn't make the effort at the tackle.
Yeah.
Which everyone will kind of ignore and gloss over when he scores a goal. It's like, okay, well, he needs to be doing it all season. He can't just be
dipping in and out of games.
Yeah, captain fanatic and score in a 4-0 win from 30 yards or score a penno. I mean, he has to get stuck in, like, in the midfield, like he used to.
Tarabite should get stuck in.
Tarabite. Adel Tarabite. I think, yeah, Agar, Scotland, Johnson were pretty awful for most of the game. I think that was a huge contributing factor, and Ricky Lambert didn't celebrate.
He did.
Jose Enrique's hair has grown very quickly. I noticed that.
That's not something I concern myself
that's
with.
Just something I noticed.
This is how you define football managers. We're talking tactics, and you're more worried about whether the players are dancing or their hair looks like.
I'm not more worried. I'm Roy just Keane commenting over here. On
equally
it.
Equally worried. Anyway, look, Southampton, good win. Keeps them a few points away from the relegation zone. Anyway.
Yeah, I think they're better off just playing the top teams. They can't get a win against bottom teams.
Just the way Pochettino has to know. Yeah. You know, he can only compete against the best. You know, he doesn't play against these terrible teams week in, week out. You know, he's only focusing on the big games, you know. He wins a few big games, people go, he's a good manager. So I'm going to get relegated, he gets a big job.
Yeah,
it's true. That's how it works. Move on to...
Well, they've got Chelsea next, so that should be...
So routine in the win.
The bag. That's another 3 points. Yep.
But then Reading after that, so.
Ah, they're losing. They're right?
That's Reading.
Reading are staying up.
Wigan, Newcastle as well. And the match was, I mean, Wigan won 2-1, but the match was completely overshadowed by Callum McManaman's tackle on Hedira.
Yeah.
The Newcastle player who came on for somebody else got injured. I can't remember who got injured. He came on. It was a terrible tackle.
Must have been McManaman.
I'd like to know. I might just be an injury, but it was
his tackle was so bad it could have injured the whole team. That's how bad that tackle was.
What do you make of that tackle?
It was possibly the worst tackle I've ever seen.
Above the ball, right into his
absolutely
his knee. Really,
I'm trying to think of a tackle to match it.
There's
probably Roy Keane on Alfinger Haaland.
Yeah. Nani in the Champions League.
No, that's not that bad. Roy Keane on Alfinger Haaland, maybe Lee Boyer stepping on the head of...
There was an absolutely horrible tackle. If I remember, I put the video up. It was Jeremy Clement. He's played for Rangers, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, I know.
He's playing in... France. I can't remember who the teams were playing. It was maybe Saint-Étienne against Nice or something like that, but it was a terrible tackle and he got his ankle completely broken. But afterwards, his ankle is, you know, like a normal leg straight, but his ankle's just dangling down.
Oh, so it's completely, I don't know, broken. If we should upload that.
Yeah, it is quite disturbing.
Maybe you can look it up yourself. I don't particularly want to see it every time I go on the page.
Jeremy Clement tackle and you'll get it. It's horrible. I think the player got banned for 7 games or 8 games afterwards.
But I mean, if you think of...
Also, Axel Witsel, when he was playing for... standard the age man, and absolutely horrible tackle on somebody before and broke the leg, got suspended for 15 games or something as well.
But I mean if you think of it in that sense, I mean, even something like do you remember Ben Thatcher's on Pedro Mendes?
Yeah.
And how intent, like, there was clear intent.
It wasn't a tackle, it was a complete
but it was like clear intent to injure the player. I mean, he got an eight game ban, and they said if you do one more thing wrong, you're going to be out of football. And it's, you know, it's a worthwhile thing to have in the game. Because
what about Shawcross on Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, that's up there, but again, there's at least a little bit more argument of did he mean it. But I know what you mean. It's probably more in that bracket actually.
Who broke his Wardo's leg? Was it a Stoke player?
I more remember his dive, which is kind of funny.
It was a Stoke player. Yeah, it was against Stoke.
But anyway,
no, it wasn't. It was against
Birmingham.
Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And also, Diaby, Sunderland player broke Diaby's ankle.
We're just getting onto the Arsenal tragedy hour over here.
I remember when Henrik Larsson broke his leg.
Do you remember what Henrik Larsson broke his leg?
I do remember then.
Who broke his leg?
I don't know. That was pretty bad, but it was against
you
Leon.
You could see the bone popping out of his sock. That was
dribble CC, lads. Dribble CC.
Twice.
Yes, okay, I don't want to talk about this.
Wasn't there two in that one game when dribble CC just.
Both broke his legs.
No, I mean.
I think Ryan Nelson broke two players' legs.
There was one game where Jibril Cisse and someone else have broken their legs.
Anyway, look, McManaman's tackle was pretty bad.
It was atrocious. And Hedera's out for the season now, isn't he?
We're not sure. He has to go for another scan next week. He could win. Just one.
Talk of a lawsuit, which is...
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sue.
I couldn't see it happening.
It'd be terrible for football.
Yeah.
I mean, but Dave Whelan, the Wigan chairman, came out and said the tackle was, to quote him, clean as a whistle.
Dave Whelan has been finding whistles in the dirtiest of places and blowing into them. The freak. That's awful.
Blow your whistle, Dave Whelan.
That's what this episode's called. Dave Whelan's Dirty Whistle.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Sorry, iTunes.
It was
kicked off of that thing soon.
It was pretty bad. But Dave, what's Dave Whelan trying to achieve by saying everybody can see?
Yeah, it's just trying to start a fight, really.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle said they want. Okay, the FA can't do anything about it. They can't.
Shola Amiobi, more importantly, never mind.
Wants a review.
Newcastle spokesman Shola Amiobi has said that he wants something done.
He should move into the spokesperson role. Get away from the whole football scene. He's better off. He's better off with that kind of stuff anyway. Yeah. Look, it was a terrible tackle, but yeah, Newcastle said they want the review of the whole punishment system and that you should be able to review
this. The FA said that as well. They want a review of.
I don't know if they've commented on it yet.
No, they said they want a change in the disciplinary hearings or something along those lines.
Interesting. Hopefully they will go for change, because
I mean, we've argued this a long time. I mean, because we don't know how to solve it ourselves, because we're not involved in the intricate everyday
but
dealings.
If we
there
are,
there has to be a better way to deal with it other than the linesman thought he saw something happen.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but that's not enough to warrant a man whose leg has been destroyed. Yeah. You know,
exactly. Look, this is a serious issue there that needs to be addressed, but we don't know. The FA are very slow moving at these kind of things, aren't they?
Yeah.
You think McManaman might have come out and said something?
He might have apologised. Yeah, I don't know if he did.
But I suppose that would weaken his case in the middle of all this for not being suspended.
It could actually help him if he seems to be a humble and honest man.
Yeah, but then the FA probably have just cause to go, okay, we'll keep it 2K.
Yeah, but they can't because they're not going to retrospectively punish them. Anyway, look, it's taken away from the game. Wigan won and they're on another good run at this.
In the 90th minute,
Kone with a wonderful goal. Yeah. Wonderful goal from Kone.
And Stephen Taylor, I hear, is going to be starting for England now, so they can rest assured that they're probably going to clean sheet against Craig.
There was a handball by
Figueroa and Fran Marino.
Okay, there was a handball by Figueroa on the build up to the Kone's goal. And it was a lovely assist by DeSanto. Did anybody see it? Hit his face.
I'm not a fan of his face, so it was a lovely assist.
Bosidor scored his first goal and so did David Santon for their teams.
Yeah.
Mm. Santon's was quite a nice strike as well. It was well taken.
Bosidor,
maybe not so good. Didn't really seem to.
I finished for a fullback from David Santon.
Newcastle were very unlucky because they played midweek, played in Thursday. The Europa League, went to extra time, they scored in the very last minute of the game. It didn't go to extra time.
Scored in the last minute.
Then in this game, they got hacked to bits and then lost in the last minute.
Yeah, and I think Alan Pardew was very angry afterwards. And I know you wanted to
talk about Pardew. So angry his beard popped out a bit more. Terrible, terrible looking beard on
looks
him. Looks
poor.
The
looks like a
he
poor.
He does, he looks like he's gonna. He looks like he's wandering around looking for. He looks like a grown up Oliver Twist. He does, he's just all raggedy.
Please, sir, can I have some more disciplinary hearings?
That's what we need, more disciplinary hearings.
What do you think, though? Are you a fan of Pardew with a beard?
No, it's kind of beneath his good goatee.
But at least he looks trimmed and he doesn't look dirty. Like, the beard, the goatee looks a bit sleazy, but it doesn't look like you just woke up in the trash and wandered in. That's what Pardew looks like. He looks like he just woke up in a load of bins and just came in eventually.
A bit like Boas, kind of looks a bit rough sometimes.
But it suits him. That's the thing. Or maybe it's just English managers. Like if Harry Redknapp started trying to grow a beard that lower neck sag of his.
What's his name? Sam Allardyce grew that mustache, remember?
That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
English managers shouldn't be allowed facial hair.
Were Hodgson with a beard?
Yeah, no, none of it works, isn't it? I can't think of any English. Get on it. At 12-man podcast. 12-man podcast. The 12-man podcast at hotmail.com or
managers with beards. Just get a Facebook page.
Well, just English managers with facial hair, I'd like to see.
Do any? I can't even think. There's not many.
Soonest.
He's not even English.
Scottish, I didn't say British as English. Jesus, we'll leave that and we'll move on, but get on that.
We'll move on to Man United versus Reading then. United 1-1.
A thriller.
Deflected goal from Wayne Rooney.
But that wasn't the important part, was it?
What was
Rio Ferdinand's sublime assist.
That's why he's
in which he fell over after chipping the ball.
That's why he's in England squad, but he's not in England squad because he pulled out.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to train or something like that.
Yeah,
so I have to train for that. No.
I see breaks. Gary Cahill would have stayed in the squad thinking, oh, Rio's playing. Rio's not playing. Right, I'm out of here. But, you know, that was like his first, I believe, I read this somewhere, his first assist in like 5 years.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
That's why he's in the England.
But he was a, do you remember he was a football playing centre back?
Yeah, ball playing centre back. I don't know, I think his ball playing abilities are overrated. I've always thought that.
I think so,
like,
in his later years.
He's a great pass. I was like, he brings the ball out of defence like any other defender brings the ball out of defence. Like, PK brings the ball to defence well, yeah. But
I think Rio Ferdinand had a bit of ball playing about, but he did have a lot of injuries, and especially like back injuries,
yeah.
Which made him just not want the ball and not want to run.
Yeah, he's still a great defender, like he reads the game brilliantly, but a lot of his ability is gone at this stage, and you know whether
it showed when everyone hyped up that because I heard so much about that before I even seen the goal. Rio Ferdinand's assist.
Yeah, I think it's just because he was back in the England team, but then he pulled out like a day later. And anyway,
that's good. Hopefully, it'll kill that overrated, you know, passion that everyone has around him. It was a chip, but he fell.
I mean, let's not get it wrong. He was a wonderful footballer.
Oh yeah,
The best defender in England by a mile, like 5 years ago, 7, 8 years ago as well, when he moved, and he was brilliant for years at United. But I mean, he's gonna get to that stage in the past. Like, he's still consistently playing well this season, but
yeah.
That's for United, and the way they haven't trained, that's it. But I just think England, you know, relying on a player at that age who has back problems, and you know, they're saying, oh, you can't, like, focus on your future. We've talked about this before. Yeah, Jagielka, Cahill.
I still think Lescott's a bit unlucky to be sitting on the bench every week and not getting any.
Yeah, but that's because he's at
Man City. Yeah.
It's like if he had stayed at Everton, he would have been, you know,
exactly.
Still there. You've got Jagielka, Cahill, whatever else you want to call. You've got Taylor coming into the squad now.
That's awful. I gotta say.
You gotta focus on the future though. You know, leave John Terry, leave Rio Ferdinand.
Cocker. Someone like Cocker ideal.
Yeah, Dawson. You know, they're not the. Okay, I know Dawson and Jagielka aren't the youngest, but I mean, they're,
I would have Cocker and Dawson ahead of Taylor by miles. I think Taylor is a liability. I think he can do 60 minutes of decent football,
yeah.
And he has a mistake in him every game.
But that's it, yeah. A bit like Gary Cahill, though. I don't think Gary Cahill will be up to like top class international football. I think he does make a few mistakes.
Yeah, but I'd still rate him higher than Taylor. I think he has a bit more.
Definitely, yeah.
He's a better ability to. Taylor is like a poor man's John Terry, which is saying something.
Yeah.
You know, he does this
last ditch
tackles when he should be in the right position in the first place, kind of thing. But also, Gary Cahill's better at that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And Taylor just has this, he has an abomination in him every game, really.
I'm just saying, James Perth for the England team. they're missing.
They call him Perchino, don't they?
Yeah, they're missing a bit of skill and style in that midfield, you know, or defence, or everyone playing. Versatile.
Yeah, he is a versatile player, in fairness.
Can play in so many positions that he can't actually play in one position properly. Been like John O'Shea for many years. He's okay in a lot of positions. James Milner is okay in a lot of things, but not good at anything. Anyway, look, we'll move on. We will say that, you know, United won 1-0. There's not much to say about that. But Redknapp sacked their manager, actually.
No, we talked about that last week briefly.
But Gus Poyet looks like the favourite to get it. Well, just at the time of recording, he's probably used to it. I don't understand.
Did the board kind of go, we could get Paulo Di Canio, and then they go, what are we doing? Like, they went, take a week to have a think about this, woke up after a bingy weekend, and be like, oh my god, we sacked our manager and almost replaced him with Paulo Di Canio.
Di Canio, you know, would have been a good show. You never know.
I don't know. It'd be like divorcing your wife and waking up with a dirty old stripper.
I hope many people can relate to that. That is one analogy that I think most of our listeners can relate to.
I mean, you're waking up next to a dirty stripper and thinking, only thing that can solve this, 12 man podcast.
It is, though. It really is. We're that good.
Good morning, stripper.
That's an advertisement right there. The 12 man podcast, the only thing that can solve your life if you accidentally divorced your wife and woke up next to a dirty stripper.
Bail on that ad. I'm not putting any money into that.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, it's already been made.
Gus Poyet, though, why would he want to leave Brighton? Brighton probably have a better squad than Redden.
I made his point earlier. I was like, he's going to be relegated next year. It seems like a step back from there.
I mean, he's going to be into the same position he's in now.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
With a team that has
less of a chance to get promoted next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a chance Brighton even might get promoted this season.
Yeah.
Like, why would. I just don't understand that. I mean,
he didn't take the. What job was he linked with a while ago? Wasn't that St Villa, was it? No.
I don't know. Could have been Southampton.
I honestly can't remember. It could have even been West Ham when they were talking about getting rid of Alderdice, all sly and sneaky. But
Chelsea job, maybe?
But, like, I mean, at the time he turned down the job in, maybe it was Leeds, actually. Could
Barcelona?
Could have been the Leeds job. That, again, you'd be in a similar type of position. Yeah. You're, you know, just stay at the job you're in until, you know, if Chelsea do come knock and then go, all right, I might give this a go. But speaking of Leeds, actually, going to be up for sale.
Yeah, the owner's only bought it like 3 weeks ago. Or
how
3 months ago.
How much do you have on it?
I have a few euro in my wallet. We have 5 or 9.
I don't have enough to buy Leeds, I don't think, but I could get a loan.
We see when we get a loan, we buy
I don't need a gaff. Stay on a little road.
I'm sure there's plenty of space to put a bedroom in there.
The away dressing room.
How's your bed?
To wake up the owner.
I
know, I'm not watching your match, lads.
But I'm watching this. Getting changed. Oh, you're so creepy. I don't know who was talking about during the week, but somebody was saying about premiership jobs or getting promoted. I think actually it could well have been Gus Poyet. Maybe it was. I'm not sure. Saying that team, you know, managers get promoted. What's the point in getting your team promoted? It might have been Zola actually saying if you get promoted, you're gonna lose your job. Like look at Southampton and Reading and both sacked their manager, and Allardyce has just talked, don't give him a new deal. It's like, what's the point in getting promoted when you get there, your chairman goes, no, we need to stay in this division, I'm gonna sack you. When
great,
that was the
example of that is Neil Warnock with QPR. I mean,
got them there
and they weren't even doing
months.
That was when they weren't even doing too badly.
Yeah.
And if anything, Hughes reverted them and they went further back.
Yeah, but Hughes did a terrible job and everybody knows it.
Yeah, but I mean it's a great example of what you're talking about there. I mean, as we said last week about Brian McDermott, give them the year. If they get relegated and then get promoted again, you know, they could ping pong around. But like, I mean, West Brom are a team that did that ultimately, took them time to kind of, they got relegated, promoted, and eventually stayed there because they had done it enough times.
Yeah, although in fairness, they did Gary Megson as manager.
But I never blame anyone for sacking Gary Megson, you know.
I blame them for hiring him in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, Bolton, for one, they should have never hired him. Although, if he was still in charge,
I would say most clubs should have never hired him.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And most fans will tell you that as well.
Although, in fairness, he was sacked as, was it Sheffield Wednesday manager, even though they were top of the table. Like, I mean, that was a bit disgraceful.
But when you know...
But hasn't got a job since, I don't think either.
The fans have... When he comes into the club...
And fans are booing him.
Megs it out as he pulls in. Like, no, I'm going in. Megs it out.
Oh, I'll just turn around.
It's like Benitez at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beatty's doing himself a good job.
Megson's a little bit more justified, though.
Anyway, look, United beat Reading, and Reading are in. They look their favourites to go down even ahead of QPR.
We have them as our favourites for bottom of the league now.
They must be, because they don't have a manager, and they want to point somebody by the weekend. But, you know, Gus Poyet, if he goes there, or anybody who goes there, he's not going to be able to turn around.
No.
9 games, is it?
No,
it's strange. When anyway, United won the top of the table, they're going to win the league, because City have went and lost again against Everton. Great result for Everton. Whoever went to the 10 men.
Well, unbelievably resilient performance.
Stephen Pienaar got sent off. Stephen Pienaar looks like a woman with his new haircut.
Does a bit, yeah. It's a fairly feminine.
I like his
haircut.
Old hair.
It's a bit of a Michael Mancien.
Is it?
Yeah, very.
What
well, like.
To Michael Mancien?
He went on loan to Hamburg and then God knows. But he had a very, very feminine. Very, very feminine features.
He just
Michael
looks.
Mancien,
yeah.
And it was. It's a specific. Whatever they've done with their hair, that is like, I know it's short,
but it looks like
a short haircut for a woman.
Yeah, it doesn't help that Mancien has those breasts as well, and he used to wear a dress.
Mancien's eyes always put me off. There was something about his eyes that were very feminine.
Okay, you seem to read into this quite deeply. Anyway, look, Everton
put you off what?
Everton. Everton beat Man City 2-0, which is a brilliant result. They played brilliantly. Yeah. And they could have won maybe from Trina, because Morales had a goal, a brilliant goal, disallowed for offside, which wasn't offside.
Yeah.
The way he took that out of the air and just smashed it in past Joe Hart was phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Very unlucky to have had that.
I think,
it was a bullet. Was it Jimmy Floyd Hasselbein?
Absolutely powered him, but then, you know, a bit
unlucky. Having said that,
Man City could have had a penalty.
Obviously. Should have.
Yeah, they should have. They were denied a perfectly good penalty, and the free kick was given. Because I think the referee must have thought that Osman had handballed it, and it wasn't Fellaini had handballed
it. Yeah, it was a bad decision
either
way.
Osman knocked it onto Fellaini's hand.
Yeah.
Because They're saying, oh, you know, the ref's giving it as a free kick. It's clearly in the box. I was like, well, maybe he's giving it for offside.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was definitely because
they eventually came to that conclusion after someone higher up obviously went, you idiots.
But
he doesn't think it was outside.
Even
on
Match of the Day 2, they were talking about it. And I think it was Pat Nevin talked about it. He was like, oh, how's he given such a terrible decision? I was like, well, it's what? But maybe he's giving it for Osmond. Like, why is nobody considering this as a possibility? Because it kind of looks like Osmond could knock it up, but you give it for the first foul, obviously, which is unfortunately outside the box.
I hate to correct you, but that was Match of the Day 1 that Pat Nevin was on.
He was on Match of the Day 2 as well.
Oh no. How did he get both of those jobs? Tell us, Pat. But yeah, no, it was very, very poor decision.
No, he wasn't on Match of the Day 1 this week. Simon Sheeran, Dion Dublin this week.
Oh, it was, yeah. Yeah, you're going.
Oh, sorry. I missed out. I was thinking Dion Dublin. I knew there was someone I wasn't too happy about there. I did see Pat Nevin as well. I kind of mashed them together.
Oh, you spent Saturday with Pat Nevin, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He was watching the match together and he was commentating.
He was saying the same things. He was trying out his lines on me before he went to Match of the Day 2.
A comedian?
Tell you who I was delighted to see play quite well. Seamus Coleman.
James Coleman was brilliant.
That header against Carlos Tevez.
That header is the sort of thing that we need against Sweden on Friday.
Honestly, regardless of his Ireland career, that is an outstanding defensive header.
Stephen Kenny's going to be standing right back.
But seriously, regardless of
Stephen Kenny right back, Kevin Foley left back.
He did a phenomenal job. That ball into Tevez, I don't know how he got out. It was just like...
Brilliant.
Maybe it was just that Tevez was still drink driving or something like that. But he was
still drinking
in his car.
But it was just the way he got around him and knocked
I don't know how he did it.
Didn't head it to the keeper, hit it.
Yeah.
Headed it out.
Lads, I'm willing to admit that he's a better fullback than I could have ever been. Seamus Coleman.
But you still think you have a chance of getting into the Bayern squad?
No, I actually put up on Twitter that I thought I'd have a chance to give Michael Owen an assist before he retired, but
well,
never got that.
Get on to
Celebrities versus Legends. We'll play that game. The 12 man lads versus... I'm not sure either of us would get into that category. Michael Owen is a legend and us a celebrity.
It's like the really, really minor form where like some local football team decide to copy the format that Sky One have done. Like celebrity versus legend.
Celebrities like C-list celebrities versus C-legends or something. Like legends from the sea.
Legends of the sea. Mer Michael Owen.
But I think...
It's Long John Silver.
Devin Moyes got on the pitch for the Everton game. Get in trouble for that.
Ran
on the pitch when Jelovic scored the second goal.
Oh, yeah.
You're not allowed to do that.
Jelovic looked like he'd scored a lovely goal. Took the
We just talked on a phenomenal fullback like Seamus Coleman. Gael Clichy came on for about 8 minutes and managed to kick the ball
off. Gave the ball away and then deflected it into his own goal.
It was just Sterling awful though. How he gave that ball away, I'm not sure, because he was like, you think, bring on a fresh pair of legs, so he's running around. He was just lazy. He was like, I don't care that much. Kick it off him.
I think he was defeated at that stage. From his all Arsenal days, I'd say. You know, that's
that defeatist attitude coming in.
Yeah. Kolarov started, didn't he?
I completely forgot that Kolarov was there.
Yeah, they started with three at the back.
Forgot that Kolarov was still there.
Shame, because I actually don't dislike him. I think he'd be an effective player elsewhere.
He's good with set pieces, that's all I can say about him. But they bought him and Clichy in the same summer, I think. And I was like, what's the point in this? Like, two left backs, two.
We need one full back that won't score enough free kicks, and we need another that'll give the ball away at a crucial time.
Well, you've got them right there. it was a wonderful win for Everton though, because the disappointment of losing so heavily to win in the FA Cup the week before, and the fans were booing that the weekend the week before, but then they were quite happy.
The atmosphere inside.
It just looked like an unbelievable game. It looked just to be there.
There was passion in that game. You know, when you're watching the game, you're like, when you know it's kind of fizzled out and you're really disappointed. There was. So, like, tackle for flying in. Darren Gibson, as I said to you before, impressed me. He was flying in with a few very good challenges, which for me hasn't done enough.
Coleman and Gibson having good games right before the internationals.
Neither
them. I don't think it was for that though. I don't think Darren Gibson's even. Is he retired? Is he Ben Foster?
He's even Ireland at this stage. What a goal by Leon Osmond though.
What a strike. Joe Hart.
Eat your heart out.
Can Ben Foster replace him, you say? After something like that, you probably can.
Why not?
Standing there, staring at the ball.
It was just such a good strike, though. I think that kind of... It just drifted away from him. There's no point even. It's like sometimes when you see a free kick go in, you go, oh, when you dive for it. And then you kind of see it again and realise, well, that ball probably travelled so fast. And the keeper's like, well, I'm not going to get to it, so.
But it was a cracker. I mean, he's a... Is he in the England squad? Yeah,
I don't think he is.
That's weird. Considering they called him up last time and made him deal with it.
Maybe it's just because he's... Actually, I don't know if he is. He might well be. Yeah, I forgot he was called up before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's...
He deserves a chance, though, he's been there.
Yeah, he deserves to be in there. I mean, he's not ever going to be your number one world-class midfielder, but he's a grafter, he works hard, he pops up with a few like that. He actually pops up with quite a few goals. You know, for a player like him,
he contributes well. He plays out of the wing more.
Yeah.
So, through the middle, but he played through the middle the other day, which worked out well for him in the end. There's one thing that I wanted to pick up on. Sky did the match, which was the Everton match, and we all said that Seamus Coleman had a brilliant game. They also covered the Barcelona-Arsenal match from the week before.
Bayern Munich,
and Philip Lahm was playing that game, and in neither instance Gary Neville was commenting about did the other commentator ask them about them as right backs, considering Gary Neville was one of the best right backs you know to have played. And neither stage did they go, oh, what do you rate like Phil Neville, is he the best right back in Europe at the moment, or what should you rate Seamus Coleman, is he a good right back? He didn't ask it. And Martin Neville was so close to asking about Seamus Coleman.
It'd be terrible if you rated Phil Neville.
I think you meant Phil to say Lam. Philip Lahm.
Did I say Phil Neville?
You'd be pretty biased if you started rating Phil Neville.
Also, you said, what do you rate Phil Neville? Is he the best right back in the world? Like, yes, of course he is.
He ain't heavy. He's
I agree.
I think they have a terrible habit of using Neville in the sense of now that people like him, you know, more than they used to. They have a terrible habit of using him to be like, well, Gary, what do you think of the stadium game? Like, ask him a question about football. You can't just say anything anymore. You know, back in the days when he used to talk about David Luiz looking like a FIFA player, it was enjoyable. It's like, yes, actually, I agree with that analogy.
But
I think he should be analysing the ball.
You know, arguably the best right back of the world playing in Philip Lahm, not Phil Neville. You know, you're like, well, ask him if he is. Ask Gary Neville's opinion. Yeah. Or is Seamus Coleman like a good right back? You know,
up and coming, yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, but he didn't. I was like, oh, for God's sake, you know?
Yeah. Stuck to the same old of Liam Osmond.
It is funny, though, to watch him commentate when Phil Neville's playing as well, though. Because, yeah. You know, he's like, oh, yeah. Because I think at one stage, Phil Neville got quite angry and he was kind of shouting at the fourth official or something like that, or at the official on the pitch because he was warming up. And it might be when they got that goal disallowed or whatever. And he shouted something anyway. And Martin Tyler was like, oh, that's something there. More something you'd see more out of Gary in the Neville family or something like that, and Gary just kind of laughed and kind of awkwardly quiet there because he was shouting quite angry.
And kind of nudged him under the desk, like, stop, what are you talking about?
Do you wonder if they'll ever have a Fabio commented on Raphael or something like that? And like, it'll be like, oh, that's more of a Raphael move. Is that? I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Not sure which one's which, yeah. Or Gabriel and Diego Melito. Competing on each other.
Like a Filippo and Simone Inzaghi.
Yep, Filippo and Simone. What other brothers have you got?
Ronald, Anton
and Rio.
Ronald and Frank.
Anton and Rio. Paul and John Terry.
Yeah, but
a fatal foray.
Tag team match. Tag team
match. I reckon there's some unresolved issues between jealousy between brothers as well.
Especially when
a Kane and Undertaker type turning on each other.
Rio and John have been, like, you know, two of the best defenders in England over the last 10 years. And
Anton and Paul,
yeah,
are known because of their brothers.
Well, Anton had an okay career, and Paul too. Yeah. You know, lower league football.
Do you remember him on Soccer AM? Do you remember Soccer AM, Adaman?
Do you remember Soccer AM?
Manny. That's all I have to say.
Manny, Noel Gallagher, the Eraser Ruddock,
David Hay.
Probably going to be Michael Owen now.
True.
Once he kicks off that big commentary career of his.
He could hang around behind the couch and pop up every week or something like that.
He will host. He will host. He will host a Saturday morning show of some sort, Michael Owen.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Saturday morning show.
Michael Owen's big fry.
It's a cooking show, isn't it?
You want to do is get some porridge oats and you put it in the microwave. And
no, he used to do an ad for cereal, didn't he?
He did a lot of ads.
Shreddies.
Was it? He did Shreddies. He did Shreddies. He did Lucozade, Shreddies, Persil. He did some Walkers. He did Asda. Those are 5 ads. You can look all of those up.
He definitely did an ad for some cereal. I can't remember. It was like a Boost or something. I remember the ad. Yeah.
Did he not do a Boost bar?
Oh, he definitely
did. That was replacing Morrow? No. He did a boost. Did he do that for that? I'm pretty sure he did an ad for that.
He definitely did the ad for some cereal. So
he also did Aon Insurance. Only in Ireland, as far as I remember.
Good lord, it's like seven ads.
Well, he must be making a lot of money from that.
He doesn't need to do this fry up with Ainsley. But Ainsley and Michael.
He will anyway. It'd be almost like getting Heskey and Home back together.
Oh, that could be good.
It's because of the bald head, big, ginormous bloke beside my girl.
I love the idea of Heskey and Owen's big Saturday morning fry up, and it's Ainsley Harrison.
Spurs, Tottenham Hotspur. They managed to lose to Fulham.
They did.
Magnificently lose 1-0. They look terrible.
Yeah, Fulham don't like to win away.
Liverpool may not have won, but we certainly rocked Spurs' confidence. Or Spurs rocked their own confidence by costing them.
Or they tired themselves out by nearly losing to Inter in the Europa League 4-1.
Gareth Bale will continue to be tired out by playing for Wales against Scotland this week as well. So.
Yeah, well, he didn't play in the Europa League match.
No, he was
crap then when he came back. Maybe that was it. Maybe his good run of form was over because he missed one game.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was like, no, I can't do it anymore. I have to start this
and
whole
all
process.
Because of his diving.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. It's affecting him. His diving's affecting him. But yeah, they lost to Fulham. I think the only reason Fulham won is because Berbatov played. Because he was playing his former team. And he has a habit of doing scoring against them. So he went, scored against them, didn't do anything, didn't celebrate, kind of waved his arms around a bit. He's gone bald as well, actually.
He'll get away with being bald, I'd say.
Yeah, he'd have to shave his head, though, I think.
Yeah, probably.
And you'll probably start doing it soon before it gets too bad.
Look a bit Breaking Bad-ish, if you get me. It'll look a bit like Ultimate Meth Dealer Walter White.
Ultimate. it's poor stuff for them. That's three defeats in a row anyway, because they lost to Liverpool last weekend, which is a great result for Liverpool, which we talked about. They lost to Inter in the Champions League. I know they went through in the end. Or they're not in the Champions League, in the Europa League, and they've lost to Fulham. I mean, they're slipping up in the league. Will they keep going?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, because they really, you know, they're kind of really going for this fourth spot and not that far off Chelsea. So you were thinking,
they've gone for the Europa League as well, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. You hate the Europa League deep down.
I mean, it just seems
when it throws up games like the Spurs game, though, it can't.
Yeah, but I still think you wait for Cup with still.
Did you watch it? Did you?
I did. I watched both legs.
And how good were Inter or how bad were Spurs or what was it in the second leg?
It was. Spurs just didn't try to do. Inter kind of
tired.
Inter kind of. They scored a goal and they were like, "Oh, a bit of dignity." Scored two and we're like, maybe." And it kind of came like that. And then eventually, when Spurs realized, they were like, "Maybe we should try play some football."
And Alvaro scored the winner, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
Which
was
fitting.
Absolutely,
he does nothing.
He was terrible.
Well, yeah, but
in that game.
It was fitting, and I think good to see considering the Inter fans racially abused them all game. So it was nice to give them the V and be like, well, I'm under knocking you out of this competition.
I think they've been in trouble for racially abusing them in both legs now, which is just ridiculous. Just kick them out of the tournament. You have to take action when
exactly.
I'm not going to get into this debate again.
We do it every week.
It used to alternate between diving and racism.
And now it's just sticking with Italy being racist nearly every bloody week.
It's not just Italy.
We're not generalising.
We're not just picking on Italy, but I mean, how many times?
We did just say that Ainsley and Heskey are the same person.
No,
so.
We did not say that. We said Michael Owen's deluded brain thinks that.
But Michael Owen's a racist.
No, he's just
and
very,
he's Italian.
Just very sad. But basically, it's just it is getting upsetting in the part of, like, Italian football is not terrible. It's a great competition.
No,
we all want to watch it. We've always had a good, like, all of us have always loved watching Italian football growing up. But this is a sad element to it, and it makes you want to steer away from it because I can't watch games where consistently racial abuse is happening. I mean, it was only last week that Inter fans were abusing Mario Balotelli racially.
Who used to play for him.
Yeah.
The player used to play for him.
So,
we saw the whole Kevin Prince Boateng thing when he walked the pitch. Yeah. He's actually been invited to discuss racism in football with Sepp Blatter. Private hearing thing or whatever.
This sounds like it sounds like something that will end up too racist on Sepp Blatter's part to ever be aired on TV.
It sounds like it's going to wind up on German television. It's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, this Thursday on blah blah blah, Sepp Blatter meets.
It's the hanging with Hector of football. I apologise to anyone outside of Ireland or who would close their eyes anytime Hector O'Hoohan comes on the screen.
Hector here. Sit here.
Look up Ireland Hector, you might find it.
Yeah. Anyway, look, let's leave that there. Frank Lampard scored his 200 goal for Chelsea in their win against West Ham. Hazard set it up with a lovely chip.
Which had Frank Lampard comparing it to playing with two Zolas, which is an interesting idea. I'd like to play
with two Zolas.
Yeah, I would like to play with two Zolas.
They'd be two very good wingmen, if any. You get you the girls.
Maybe they're too good looking.
No, I think because
he was quite a selfless.
Yeah, he was. He passed the drunkest girl to you. he's all class, Jeff Frank Lampard. Yeah, he doesn't want drunk girls. True.
I think he'd probably get to me quite easily.
Yeah, he'd get all the sober ones easily. Regardless, this is not how to get girls podcast. This is a football podcast.
That's coming up afterwards.
Thankfully, because we couldn't tell you. Eden Hazard and Juan Mata.
Zola's actually just waiting.
Eden Hazard and Juan Mata were fantastic. They were pretty good.
Yeah, Mata.
Particularly.
No, Hazard, sorry. With the chip in was lovely. And then Mata's ball to Hazard for the second goal was brilliant as well. The way he took control of it and kind of, the ball seems just kind of hanging in the air. Mata just waiting. So Hazard's running behind me. I'm just going to flick that over to him now. And then he ran in and scored. It was a wonderful goal. They just played brilliant. And they looked quite good. I mean, they played against the West Ham defence, who's full of midfielders. So
still no sign as to what will happen with Lampard's career.
Future, yeah, we don't know. 200 goals. I mean, he's the only player, I think, in the Premiership that scored in 10. He scored 10 goals in 10 consecutive seasons.
Yeah,
which is a phenomenal stat. You know, he has 200 goals now for Chelsea. I mean, he's probably got. God, I wonder if he's more than Michael Owen. Actually, I'm sure he does. Because he's
probably
213 as well.
Yeah,
no doubt. Possibly,
yeah,
no doubt. Yeah. Lampard has at least 13 for West Ham.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even. 200. Yeah, so it would be. I'd say he has more goals, which is quite impressive for a midfielder who.
It's not really something you'd expect.
Yeah, he was not getting a new contract at the team. He scored 13 league goals for this season, I think, 12.
Yeah.
And a couple in the Champions League. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's just madness to think. Okay, he might be the best all-round player now because he's a bit older and a few of his goals do come from free kicks and corners. It'd be amazing if they came from that. Penalties, yeah.
Steve Staudin had a knack of scoring from corners.
Yeah, he
scored three or four for Ireland. Direct from corners.
Mark Hans Pedersen, I think, did it before.
Yeah.
He was quite good at that.
He's got a career total of 240, but I'm not sure if that's including.
I'd say that's probably including England games.
No, I think that 240 would be about right.
Yeah, 240 seems.
Yeah, I'd say 240.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, 200 for Chelsea. Let's not get too bombed down specific. You're a phenomenally good performer on all, and probably not the main problem in the team.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
to be replacing a year contract couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Paul's
goal. Does Toffee go to the MLS? Get him back to West Ham?
They would take him.
They
would
have the money. The fans wouldn't. They would have the money if they didn't waste it or try to waste that on Andy Carroll.
But they've wasted money before that and playing players like Luis Balmorte, 80 grand a week. So they're not going to hop on back into this.
Man City?
No.
They really don't have any good centre midfielders, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's problems this week with Yaya Torres' contract. Yeah,
talk he might leave him somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. No, I don't see it happening straight.
There was talk he was going to go to United last season.
Yeah, that was just speculation. We never heard anything.
AC Milan, prolonged his career for 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's white, so Italy would accept him.
Yeah. That's always a bonus. Although he would tan, though.
Oh,
which would be a problem. Anyway, look.
This is a touchy podcast.
Yeah, I don't.
Nervous.
I want to continue down this route. Champions League draw was made there last Friday. No British teams in it, so suddenly you don't hear about it over here in the British media. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it for
at least
3 minutes.
Madrid, and go.
Madrid, Galatasaray, Malaga, Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain, Barca, and probably the standout type, Bayern versus Juventus. A little bit uninspiring because maybe you would like to see Madrid against Juventus or Bayern or Barca against one of them. They kind of avoid each other. Malaga Dortmund kind of slips under the radar then because one of them is going to get through to the semi-final.
I'm almost most excited.
But that's what I mean, because they're not playing one of the big teams.
Yeah.
They're playing you know, people.
Yeah, yeah, I understand what you mean.
Should Malaga just bail on it, considering they can't play in the Champions League next year?
No, they should win it because
they should go. I'm wondering that, if
they win it, they'll have to be allowed.
Yeah, I was wondering that. What will happen? I think we nearly wanted to talk about this last week, but we kind of wasn't the right time to talk about it. Will, like, is that what's going to happen? Are they going to have to defend their trophy even if they're not allowed in the tournament?
They deserve the right to defend it, so I think I think UEFA.
Well, as a Liverpool fan,
UEFA would have to let them back in because that's what they did with Liverpool. They have to have the champions in it, and it makes sense. You have to have them in.
But is theirs not because of financial?
I know, yeah, it is. But
oh, that's so funny. I kind of hope they win it just so we have to.
Yeah,
they won't.
I can't imagine it would be madness if
they won.
If they were to beat Dortmund, I don't know who they play if they go through. Would they played winner person in
Barcelona? The draw hasn't been made.
Oh, it has been made. Okay, so
it's still up in the air.
I mean, if for example Malaga do beat Dortmund, they could possibly wind up with Galatasaray or Paris Saint-Germain. Mm. Again, I know they're good teams in their own right, but then
I don't think they'll beat Dortmund though.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's just if they did. Mm. If they did.
Well, I mean, it's a hell of a big if to say if Malaga beat Dortmund and then if PSG beat Barca / if Galatasaray beat Real Madrid, they could possibly get each other.
Football, lads.
Yeah, exactly.
It's speculate.
It's a good.
I mean, Malaga have been quite good.
They have been very good.
They have a manager with a great record in Champions League, and they've been brilliant in it so far. Whereas, like I said, last week Dortmund have a manager who doesn't really have a lot of experience at all. Like everything he's learnt has been at Dortmund.
Yeah.
So you know he's only got this far in Champions League this season. So this is all he knows. No, not in that. A disadvantage might be an advantage in a way because he's not going to be naive about it. He's not going to go, oh, we can play really attacking football or we'll do this.
Yeah.
You know, he might say, well, we're just going to stick to what we're good at and give it a shot.
Yeah.
Really. Which is what they've been doing so far. You know, I don't see them winning it. And I think people are saying, oh, they're my dark horse to win it. Okay, they could win in the semis if they, they beat Malaga.
I see, the thing about it is, like, but if they come up against Real Madrid in the semis, they've already beaten them.
Yeah, but I think they kind of push up the shelf and it's Champions League semi-final. Yeah.
No, what I mean is, what do people do then? It's like, oh, they're my dark horses to beat Real Madrid. It's like,
well they already did.
Like, would you not consider them favourites then?
They probably wouldn't get favourites, but that you wouldn't put them as dark horses. You would kind of.
I think just people are.
But I don't even know if
people are stupid, is what you were going to say there.
Can you even have?
Don't insult the listeners like that, Shaggy. You know?
Can you even properly have a dark horse in the semi final? Like,
yeah, I know.
Can you say like, well, I mean. They only win like two games and they can win the whole thing outright. Like,
yeah, I don't think you.
Like, if someone had said, oh, Dortmund are dark horses to win it when the draw was made for the group stages, you would have been like, well, that's a very impressive thing at this stage.
But you can't have dark horses at this stage. It's just people had said already.
Yeah.
You can have a horse and it might well be dark, but. I'm sorry. Yeah, look, we all look forward to it. I think, in a way, I'm kind of really looking forward to not having any British teams in it because it opens up. That means, you know, the broadcasters are going to have to show other matches.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're going to have to do a bit more research. There's going to be a bit more interest. I love seeing those European teams play. And I think a lot of people do, but the way it's covered in the media, they don't get enough attention, I don't think, you know? Unless it's Madrid, Barca.
Yeah,
I mean, I've...
Like, Bayern Juventus is going to be a brilliant game, I think, just tactically, the way the teams play.
The one problem I will have is, I mean, on the terrestrial channels, the coverage for it will be poor, regardless. I mean, you're going to have the choice the coverage will be poor, actually. Sorry, I want to reword that. The pundits they use for half-time and full-time analysis will be poor, because overall they have a bad knowledge of other leagues. And look, I'm not claiming to know every player of every team, but I will watch some other games. Whereas, I mean, RTE, I've had this complaint a few times where it really is terrible knowledge, where they'll claim that this player's in poor form and actually know nothing about his form. Mm.
It's at that stage where you see Real Madrid versus Galatasaray will come down to Drogba versus Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one big tip is if TV3 have coverage on these games, and you're looking for, I know it can be poor, but they have someone like Brian Kerr on who talks about other leagues and has watched these other teams play, or at least has done research beforehand, rather than hearing that Dani Alves is a donkey for the umpteenth time off Eamon Dunphy. But yeah, listen to Brian Kerr wherever he goes.
Do that. Europa League was on as well, and we said that Newcastle beat Angie with a very late goal. From Cisse,
Very, very late goal. He likes that, doesn't he? He likes to play poorly for a lot of the season and then pop in a late goal.
Got a very late goal against Stoke, do we? So they play Benfica because they went through. Spurs beat Inter just about. So they play Basel. Or Bal, I want to say.
Bal. I prefer Bal.
And Chelsea play Rubin Kazan because they beat Stoya, wasn't it?
Yeah. Another interesting game.
Horrible trip. Chelsea have to travel out to Kazan, wherever it is. Yeah. I mean, if not, they're going to have to travel
to... Is it Rubin or Kazan? Maybe it's neither.
They're going to travel to Russia.
But anyway, Kazan have to travel out to that Chelsea city.
But for Chelsea, the fixture pile up with the FA Cup weekend as well. Exactly, yeah. Doesn't help things at all.
I can't find any of these in the maps, lads. I've been trying to book flights. I can't find them anywhere.
There's no Rubin, there's no Kazan. wherever it is, I don't know. Hey, I don't know my Russian geography. But it's just going to be with the fixture pile that they've got, though, with the FA Cup replay that's coming in. They're going to play 4 games in 8 days or something like that, which is just incredible. Incredibly difficult as well.
I mean, again, with a fraying Chelsea squad, like it's there's not a lot of depth to it. If it is depth, it's not good depth.
You know, you're talking about Victor Moses or players of that.
But even at least he's one you can name. I mean, if you take it, Lampard has played a lot of games this season.
Yeah. I mean, centre midfield might be their biggest problem.
Definitely.
I mean, for actual centre midfielders. I mean, Ramirez
likes to burst through the middle. He's better off play Astro against me.
You've got John O'McKell.
Whatever he is. No one can see those shrugging.
Does Rosario Romeo still exist?
I don't know. Well, it was his birthday a while back and we come to that.
That was
one of those old podcasts.
That was in 2012. Anyway, internationals this weekend as well. Ireland play Sweden. Very important game. Sweden been pretty good form lately. You know, coming back against Germany and their 4-4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They beat England. Ibrahimovic looked amazing in that match. Was that 3-1 or
3-2? 4-2.
Oh, 4 even. Yeah, he got a hat trick anyway.
Can I comment on?
Did he get 4? Did
he? I think he may have gotten 4.
Yeah, was that amazing goal anyway? Yeah. What you say?
Can I comment on the fact that David Beckham warned Robbie Keane through the Irish Daily Star or whatever fantastic trickle they got down the pipelines that watch out for Zlatan. I was like, oh, thanks. Watch out for one of the best players in the world. Yeah. Good. Thanks for they managed to bring it to, again, I'm sure this is all nonsense, but they managed to bring it to, like, PSG, David Beckham, he's the player Robbie Keane, who will be playing Zlatan, we've made the full circle. Well done, you made a back page story out of absolutely feck all.
Robbie Keane has only scored 16 less goals, I think, than 16 less goals than Ibrahimovic in his career in club football.
Pretty good stuff at Robbie Keane.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Who
has more goals than Michael Owen?
Yeah. I find it time and time again that I hear criticisms of Robbie Keane. Like, people who are just fed up with him. And it's like, okay, look, I understand where you're coming from, but, like, where would Northern Ireland have been without David Healy? You know?
I mean,
he is our goal source. I mean,
I don't think Kevin Doyle can say that he is our... David.
No, I don't think I said that though.
No, I think it's more of a joking, fair comparison. Where would Germany be without Klose? He did score so many goals. Like, Robbie Keane is, I think, the fifth best international goal count record currently playing. Like, that's incredible.
But I know people want to see Shane Long brought in because they're like, well, Shane Long's not scoring week in, week out. I still think he's a lot to learn.
Kevin Doyle should be dropped. I think Kevin Doyle out of that Ireland squad. He doesn't deserve to be in there. I know. So keep him out. I mean, people are saying, oh, you can't drop Kevin Doyle. Sorry.
Would you have Conor Salmon?
But then you kind of... No, I don't want Conor Salmon. You know, you got to think about it. If people go, oh, well, Kevin Doyle's doing this. It's like, okay, stop. Where's Kevin Doyle playing at the moment?
Yeah.
Oh. And then they go, you saw Wolves. Like, where are Wolves? To like second bottom of the championship. Yeah. Kevin Doyle has scored like 3 goals in all season.
We said it when he was playing Premier League football that Kevin Doyle was just not up to it. Mm. And I particularly was just fed up of watching him. Because he gets stuck in, but I don't want to see him banging around.
Yeah, he's good at the job he does. But I mean, Jonathan Walters can do that job and he's at least playing Premiership football.
Yes.
And you've got players like Simon Cox who scores when he plays for it. And you've got Shane Long as well.
I don't want to jump to Simon Cox's defence because I still think he's a poor player.
But he does score when he plays for us though, doesn't he?
Yeah, sometimes. I still think there's 3, Robbie Keane,
Walters and Long.
Yeah, Walters and Long, that should be in their head.
And Andy Cole, obviously.
Obviously.
Well, he scored against Germany. That should be
Keogh's website name. And Andy Keogh, obviously. .com.
And Andy would get a bit confused.
Okay, just Andy Keogh, and obviously.
The Dandy. No, that's already taken.
On Dandy. The Irish version.
Oh, God. Yeah, it should be interesting anyway. It's against Sweden, as we said. It'd be quite good. Ireland, not quite good lately.
That could be the problem in this game. If you will allow us to be that bad pundit. Yeah, that we're Sweden, not good.
Sweden could be good, and we may not be.
But what a lot of people are saying is that Sweden defensively aren't very good. And Ireland
offensively aren't very good.
No.
Well,
or defensively aren't very good. Midfield...
But
dodgy.
Our chance is that we go and we might nick a goal and then we defend
well. Yeah, well, that's kind of every single game we play. It's like, we might go there, we might nick a goal, you
huge,
know?
Huge talk over Trapattoni's position as well. I mean...
He's not going to be sacked.
Actually, again, the Irish Daily Star led with the fact that it's cold and he might get sacked. I don't know how they managed to work that into together, but they did. It is cold. But yeah, he...
Didn't he get the Pope's job or something?
I don't see him being sacked. I can see a lot of pressure being put on him after we lose these games.
But a magnificent win.
Well,
know?
I mean, against Austria, I don't see us losing.
John Delaney on Sky Sports made these...
Wales beat Austria recently.
Yeah.
John Delaney...
Wales beat Austria. Yeah.
John Delaney on Sky Sports made these points that, a win and he'll be hailed as a hero. I don't think he'd be hailed as a hero in any situation. I think people are not as stupid as John Delaney thinks they are. You know, if not win, you're the best. Lose, you're the worst.
It's... Win and buy us a pint, maybe.
Yeah. Well, with certain people, yeah, John Delaney, that's all he has to do. Oh, I'll just unruffle my tie and buy a pint.
Or throw his tie into the crowd.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. It was stolen, if you remember correctly.
Oh, was it stolen?
Yes. There's a video you can find of that. I wish they'd have just robbed him, to be honest.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful stuff. Anyway, that's coming up, and we'll probably have a furious debate about that next week, whatever happens in the match.
Yeah.
Not John Delaney's tie getting robbed, the match itself. Well, that's it for the week this week, lads, I think. Thank you, Declan Martin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth Holman, as well.
Thank you.
If you want to get in touch, 12manpodcast@hotmail.com or @12manpodcast on the Twitter.
And the Facebook, where things happen. Where the tune of all tunes is happening. Michael Owen, Wonder Boy.
It's awesome. It's,
as I said, it's like Muse meets opera meets like football music, which... You know.
So it's Muse's last album.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh,
bad album.
It's for another podcast. Thanks for that anyway, lads. Get onto the Facebook page. Just Google it. Get on there, like us, and get onto the iTunes and subscribe. And
honestly,
like
don't forget, English managers with facial hair.
We want to hear from you.
Paul Jewell's baby face ain't got none of that.
Paul Jewell with a beard? I want to see that.
That would look terrible in his porn video.
Yeah, anyway, thanks, lads. See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm just kind of imagining segments from
I just need to get to reenact goals which didn't work together.
That's well that a car pop that.
And it is just the outside car park.
Let's talk to Ainsley.
No.
Hold on, it's Emmy Alasky.
Oh, I tell you what, you are some green tomato.
Ainsley, you just asked him cooking something up. And he's like cooking something up in the team. And Michael Owen's going to the football. And he's like, a throws at his head, knocks him over.
I'll start on a fire again.
That's where every episode could end.
It's Michael Owen kicking them all
it's
up.
It's just the credits rolling down the bottom of the screen, Michael. I've started a fire again.
I think I've pulled my hammy while I started a fire, while I broke my leg, while I pulled my arms out.
Oh. Emile's meals.
Like, it's just like M-E-A-L-S.
Yeah. And the picture is... Oh, but yeah, it's just some Peter Crouch on, I guess, but not actually, just some tall person.
Just Stephen Merchant. From the office. Let's talk about what's coming up on BBC Radio Classics this week.
Well, I enjoy this Patrick Hamburger.
That would be a good idea, themed.
Easier for any striker to come on with 20 minutes to go.
And he's obviously prolific, whether you start him or you don't start. Any of you boys scored coming on as a substitute this season?
Not this season, no.
No? No.
No,
any of you boys scored at all this season?
No. No.
Oh, well, that's fair enough. Yeah, good. Any of you boys scored at all this season?
No.
Any of you boys scored at all this season?
No.
Any of you boys scored at all this season?
No.
Any of you boys scored at all this season?
No.
The tallest season.